I'm thankful for the privilege of being a spokesman for the kingdom. Now, I'm going to ask you to look at what I'm going to call the seven most likely things to hit the church today. That doesn't mean that it's all. It's just that I have seven areas that this business of the evil spirits hits the church. Let me start by doing just a quick review and looking at the fifth chapter of the book of Mark, where Jesus had gotten off the boat. And when he got off the boat, a guy come up out of the graveyard. He came from the area of the tombs, as the Bible calls it, in Mark chapter 5. And he was demon-possessed. And as he being demon-possessed, the demon started to crying out. And our Savior said to the demons that in the man, "You unclean spirits, I command you to come out." So they were concerned about coming out, because when they came out, if they had to go to a dry place, they cannot operate. A spirit cannot operate without what we call a host. In other words, somebody to allow them in. All right? So here we go. When he told them to come out, the Lord looked over at the spirits and said to them, "And what is your name?" And one of the demons spoke out and said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Well, what that really meant, this word Legion, was 6,000 different evil spirits in this man. So, listen to this. Every one of those spirits had a unique personality based on itself. So can you imagine a man with 6,000 different personalities that is coming at you? So what we're looking at is all these various spirits. And of course, we can group them. So I want to talk today about seven of the main spirits that plagues the church today. And the very first one that I want to come out of the box with is looking at the spirit of religion. The spirit of religion. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's got over 3,000 major denominations. 3,000 major denominations. Now, with these 3,000 major denominations, that means every one of these churches, every one of these religions have their own way to go about worshiping. So what we want to look at today is this business of religion in the church when it has no place. Actually, what the Lord is looking for us to have is a relationship, not religion. It's a relationship. So let me take you to the book of Revelation to start with. And when I take you to this, to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, and verses 4 through 11. Now look at this. This is a message to the church at Ephesus. Verse 4. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left your first love. And remember therefore from whence thou had fallen, and repent and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." So if you don't repent, then look at verse 6 and 7. "But this thou hast, that thou hast eaten the nut. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord has said unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of God." Well, now, Christians had their own way. Brothers and sisters, I want you to hear this. And I want you to be clear that you hear what the Lord is saying. Now remember, it wasn't all then, today, with the spirit of is new denomination created, but they have been created by us, not by God. The Lord only wants one spirit in his church, and that is the Holy Spirit himself. So if we don't have just the Holy Spirit, then we are outside of where God wants us to be. In fact, I believe it's Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he tells us to go and tarry, although we know today that we do not have to tarry because the Holy Spirit is already here. We don't need to tarry. But in the day before Jesus had gone and had resurrected and returned to glory, we recognize the fact that God had not come back to us in the form of the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is back, and we don't have to tarry. He's already here. So religion, be careful, ladies and gentlemen, about the religion in your life. Don't let it be a religion. Let it be a relationship between you and Christ. Spirit number two, the spirit of pride. Come with me, if you please, to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and I'm going to start in 14 through 17. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. I know your works, and thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you would be cold or hot, so that because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because thou hast said that I am rich and increased with good goods and have no need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. What are we talking about? The spirit of pride. I said that I spoke to my people at Livingstone on Sunday. I had on a blue suit. I had on blue shoes. I had on blue socks, and I had on a blue and brown shirt. I had a blue and brown necktie, or had it all put together. And I said, anybody who don't match up with me cannot stay at this church. That would have meant that everybody would have had to leave, but maybe one or two out of hundreds that were sitting there. But ladies and gentlemen, please believe me, God is not interested in our little blue suits and blue shoes and blue socks and whatever shirt you wear. He's not interested in any of that. He's interested in a relationship with us. So that spirit of pride roams through the church and causes many things to happen. Spirit number three, the spirit of compromise. And I'm just going to give you the scripture. I'm not going to take time to read it. And that's in Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. Now, let me tell you something, what is happening here. The church today, and when I first started pastoring almost 50 years ago, as a young 31-year-old pastor, I was interested in looking good, feeling good, and having people to say that I was the greatest pastor since Jesus. That's what I was looking for. I wanted the seats to be filled, and lo and behold, our little church at that time got running over. We built another one, and that run over. And now we're into a bigger one. So the bottom line is, if I had people that were paying good money, I'd do everything not to step on their toes. So what did I end up doing? Compromising. God was not pleased with me, nor those that I compromised with. So ladies and gentlemen, please understand this, and let this be a lesson to you even in your house. Your husband, your wife, your children, everybody need to recognize that there's only one spirit supposed to be there, and that is the spirit of a living God. So the spirit of compromise is running rampant through the church today. Anything goes. It don't make any difference what it is. Anything goes. So I'm saying to you today, do not allow yourself to be compromising the word of God and to compromise what God has called you to do. Well, there's another one. Number four is the spirit of Jezebel. Well, that's found, one of the scriptures that we use is in Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 through 20, and also verse 28. Now, I'm going to leave that to you to find out what's going on with that. But let me talk about it. This Jezebel spirit is a spirit of control. What do you mean control? Well, Jezebel, Miss Jezebel, as you all know, was some kind of woman. I don't know, I'd like to say that some years ago, probably far before many of you young people have never heard of Marilyn Monroe, but she was some kind of sexy looking woman. And she had all kind of men going all kind of ways because she could control them just with her sexy look. And ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, remember, God is not interested in our ability to use whatever natural abilities or natural attributes that he's given us to control anybody. He's looking for a relationship with you. Just remember, there's how many spirits in the church that God created is just one, and that's the spirit of the Holy Spirit. So this control spirit is running rampant in our churches. And many of us pastors or living a life of controlling not only ourselves, but we want to control everybody else, when what we need to do is to make sure that they understand the word of God. And if they understand the word of God, they will allow the Holy Spirit himself to control them. And that's my mission today, is to make sure that everybody know his word. And when they know his word, they're going to allow the Lord to lead them in the way that they need that he needs to lead them. One passage of scripture that comes to my mind right now real quick, and that's over there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. And it says this: they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. So it's only those of us who are led by the Spirit of God. Not our control, not Bishop Henry Hearn's control, but it's the Spirit of God through the leadership of the Holy Spirit that what we're looking at. Next one that I want to call up on the table here to you is the spirit of tradition. That's number five, spirit of tradition. Well, what you talking about, preacher? Well, Reverend Edward was the founding pastor of the church, and so this is the way he did it, so therefore, this is the way you need to do it now. So we cannot do what we did and get to where the Lord wants us to be. He wants us to understand his truth and to live consistent with his truth. So the spirit of tradition, some cases is good, and some cases it is not. And we give you Revelation chapter 3, the first six verses. Then there's a lying spirit. We got prophets that will say anything that you want them to say if you put money in their pocket. And I'm going to give you a scripture to carry with that. It's 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 22. The lying spirit that runs rampant through the church. All these spirits that I'm calling up, there are many others. But what I want to do is let you know that God is calling for us to stand back and allow him to do what he needs to do. The last spirit I'm going to call to the table is the familiar spirit. And that's those of us. I had one of the members of the church, and I said it Sunday. I says, I know you, I'm not going to call your name, but you wanted to know what sign, what month I was born in. And I said, April the 23rd. 1933, and you said, oh, I know what you are. You're a Taurus. Well, what the heck has that got to do with anything? That's that familiar spirit. And people going by stuff. So the fortune tellers, the palm readers, and the witches, and the zodiac signs, all of these are familiar spirits. And God is saying, get out of that and let me be your God. And if you let me be your God, I'll let you be my people. The last thing I want to cover is, how do you get out of all of this? I want to give you a couple of scriptures. The first one I want to give you is Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. And what that says, behold, I have given you power over the enemy, over the scorpions, over everything that come upon you to plague you. I have given you power over that. God wants to lead us. God wants to protect us. God wants to give us direction. But we have to allow him to give us direction. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Particular verse 2. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your spirit. We got to get a new mindset. And then Romans 8, verses 13 and 14. Ladies and gentlemen, these seven plagues us, but all we need to do is allow the Spirit of God to control us and lead us in the path of righteousness. And I guarantee you, if we do that, we will be successful in everything else we do. God bless you. I have to cut off here. Don't want to, but I got to. See you on the next time. Father, we thank you. We ask your blessing upon us today and give us strength and the power over the enemy. I know you've done that by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, hallelujah and amen. God bless you today, ladies and gentlemen. Every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, right here at 37721 North 100th Street East in Little Rock, California. We're on 100th Street, just south of Avenue R, south of Palmdale Boulevard. And we would love to see you. If you do not have a church home, or visiting in the area, come and visit with us at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning. I got one special announcement that on the fourth Sunday in this month, which will be the 23rd of February, we're having the Buffalo Soldiers. And we'll have a sermon that will take into the Bible and also Black history as it relates to the Word of God. We'd be glad to have you. That is at 10 o'clock. But that afternoon, we're having kind of a pig out in our fellowship hall and display of African artifacts. It's going to be an all-day thing here at the church. Plenty of food and everything else. We're looking forward to seeing you on the 23rd, 10 a.m. for worship. And following that will be all kind of food and artifacts in our fellowship hall. Wow, it sure is good to be with you today. Thank you so much. God bless you, and the Lord keep you. Amen.